Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Advocacy and Gospel News for the Persecuted Church. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Advocacy broadcast for the Persecuted Church is not a call-in show. It's a fast-moving gospel news program. All correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is Wednesday, the 7th day of August, 2019, and our scripture reading for today, for this week, is Deuteronomy chapter 1, starting at verse 1 through chapter 3, verse 22, Isaiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 24, and the New Testament portion is John chapter 4, verses 1 through chapter 5, verse 47, also 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Facebook and Twitter. On Twitter, look for hashtag WatchmanIS216 and also hashtag Warn Radio. You can also find us on Twitter and LinkedIn. And, of course, we're on Blog Talk. And we distribute our shows through Warn Network partner sites, which would be Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Acast, Warn Radio on Acast, and that we feature the shows, the videos on Facebook, and you can also find us on Google Play Music. Be sure to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman. He puts them out every week. They are very valuable to your spiritual life, so be sure to read them and pass them along to your friends. This week we feature Kingdom's Call of the Light in Christ Jesus. Kingdom's Call, walking in the light as Christ is in the light. Be righteous as you walk in a world of darkness, for the light shall overcome all things. Be sure the Lord has shown you, O man, what is required of you. A chosen generation has been called out of darkness into his light. Are you one of them? It's a message for today for all people. Also, Christ Jesus of the faith you follow. Christ Jesus is not the religion, denomination, the current trend, or any other man-made thing or theology. The brass tack of the situation, the hard-nosed fact of who we are, it's not the faith, but the Christ of the faith whom you are to follow. We don't follow faith. We are to have faith. You can read more of those on warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. You can also listen to the shows at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Before I welcome in the Watchman, hear the word.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing good. I'm glad to be here. Got a lot going on in this world.
Yes, a lot is going on. Up front, though, we're going to get right into it. We're talking about China Aid, Bob Fu's ministry that reports on what's happening. And we've talked about this many times over the years. Because not only do you have Christians that are persecuted for their faith, many times those Christians have to go to court. Somebody has to represent those Christians. Many times, human rights lawyers that are specifically there to protect the rights of everybody stand up for these. And we have been seeing for some time now the human rights lawyers being thrown in prison. So
yeah,
according
right.
China's Sichuan province sentenced a lawyer, Huang Kui. He's the founder of the human rights website 64. Now, I think he's a lawyer, but they are human rights activists, and then there's lawyers. We've talked about the lawyers being put in here. Well, this guy has a website. He was sentenced to 3 years on disclosing state secrets and 11 years for providing state secrets to foreign forces. Now, one of the things that they do, and China's not the only one, Iran does this, a lot of the others who want to prosecute, especially Christians, is if there's any kind of an information, anything that they might have shared, it's a state secrets charge. Almost invariably, because those things sound so bad and like you're a spy. So it's meant that way. He received a 4-year deprivation of political rights, and authorities ordered 20,000 yuan from his personal account taken. He has 2 charges, so he must serve 12 years in prison. Now, this is a long time in China. An attorney named Zhang, who served as his lawyer until he himself was forced to withdraw from the case. Now, see, this is typically the way it goes. China does not honor the rights. It is strictly communist China. And we forgot that, you know, Tower, that it is Red China.
Yeah, it is. They quit calling that a long time ago, but it's still Red China.
Well, before my
growing up, that's what it was called.
Red China, and that's exactly what it is. I was raised to that. One of the last things my dad said to me in my office downtown. I've since moved my office, but we were talking about Revelation and other things, and he just blurted out of the blue. He said, Red China is not a friend. It's Red China. It's communist. And he stressed that point because at the time we had Walmart and many other companies that ordered just billions of dollars worth of goods from China. And China always ended up getting the better of the trade exchange between our two countries. China never played fair in the money situation, and they never opened up their economy like they should have. So this is why Trump did what he did, and now it's in a mess. Nevertheless, he asked why such a serious sentence was given, saying that the alleged secrets that Huang exposed are actually items of global public knowledge, and arguing that he received the documents from others who were not prosecuted. Now, see, this is exactly how it works in China and other places.
Yeah.
As long as they can hang the one who has it. And, of course, there's no making excuses. There's no saying anything. But he doesn't even hold a government position. But his mother didn't even receive a notice from the court regarding her son's punishment.
And it was volunteers at his website that told her what happened. And she was concerned about his health. He has multiple diseases and fears he may be depressed. But at any rate, you know, this is reasonable while we're talking about the persecution of Christians. Many times we see these Christians having to go up before the very authorities who want to throw them in prison. And it's all connected to being a Christian. And in this case, in China, it has to be the only Christianity that's allowed in China is the one that is subject to communist China. The pastors have to give sermons that are slanted from the communist state. That's the only way they can do this. And so if you think this is a free and clear operation of the Spirit of God in these churches, you're nuttier than a fruitcake. Now, a lot of these house churches then now, today, while they had a certain atmosphere of freedom for a number of years and actually grew big churches like the Early Covenant Rain Church. Well, since his Wang Yi, the pastor and his wife, and 100 others were imprisoned, they shut the church down, and they're not the only one. So they need people to represent them. And even in Iran and other places like Pakistan, many of these people, it was in Pakistan that, who was that? It was the governor that came out in support of Asiya Bibi that she was innocent. And he was actually killed for it. He was assassinated.
Yeah, I believe that's true. Yeah.
And so this is what we find in India with the peer pressure from the Hindus, in Pakistan, the peer pressure from the Muslims, and in India, the staunch control, I mean, not India, but China, the communist government over there. So this is how it works. And so, folks, you can thank God you live in a country right now that does offer you some freedoms. But you know, as yeah. I speak right now, you're dealing with a nation today that is divided as it's never been. And Tower reminded me today that during our broadcast that we did about the eclipse a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and 2017, this month.
Yeah. I had talked about how divided this country was and that the eclipse was a sign of how divided this was and that it would be even worse. And today it is a lot worse than it was at the time that I said that. And make no mistake, that is exactly where we're at today. And it really doesn't look good. So, remember China.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Are you ready for year one?
Yes, this first story is, it breaks my heart. It's very tragic. It's about thousands of migrants trekking to the U.S. This comes to us from, it's from CBN News. And Chuck Holton describes that when he arrived in Turbo, Colombia, he found masses of African migrants at the pub boat dock. Apparently Peter Ball was one of them, but he left Cameroon in mid-June. We passed through Istanbul, then we stopped to Panama. Now we come to Ecuador, so we are trying to walk now back to Panama. From Panama, that's how we go into America, which will be the safest place for us. And at that public dock in Turbo, there's a boat full of immigrants headed to a place called Capragana, which is the last spot inside Colombia, and from there they will start their walk. And these people have no idea what they're going to face. They think that they've made the hardest trip there. They think they made the worst and that it's going to be easy. But many of the migrants are not from Latin America. They're from Africa, Bangladesh, and all over the world. And they have no idea what they're about to face. And this Peter Ball says, it's going to be a tough one, he acknowledged, but I just pray to God he will guide us through. And these people are going to have to go through the jungle, and many of them will likely not survive. And if they do, their journey will be far from over. There's camps in Panama that are holding as many as 10,000 migrants, and the number of those being allowed to continue north to Costa Rica is only a few hundred per week. And this Fabrico Marin, the harbor master in Turbo, says the numbers continue to surge. He said, as of yesterday, we transported over 6,000 people of different nationalities from Congo, Cuba, Haiti, Pakistan, Syria, Eritrea, Bangladesh. It's increased a lot, especially migrants from Africa. And many of them think that when they get here to Turbo, like I said, that the worst is over. But in reality, he says their suffering is just beginning. And the Fabrico thinks the biggest travesty is the number of children forced to make this dangerous journey. And he said, we've seen nearly 600 of them this year alone making the crossing with their parents. And he said, many of them can't even walk yet. And it's hard to watch because many of them just don't have any idea what they're about to face. And on the Panama side of the border, the Panamanian Frontier Police have seen at least 40 children emerge from the jungle alone. Their parents died somewhere out there. So they have no idea what country these children are from. They oftentimes don't even have any idea what their names are. And they've come through there with, they have all kinds of bug bites. They've arrived in very bad health, exhausted, dehydrated. And they have the bug bites from the jungle. And it's really painful for our team, he says, to watch this happen with these children because it's just heartbreaking to see the little children go through this. They're deeply disturbed. And a person named Rodriguez is a Border Service liaison who works to reunite families who get separated on the trail. And she says the children are being put in too much danger. We've heard of stories of animals that attacked a baby and killed it out there. But when we recovered lost children, we look at the border stations. And for example, recently a 2-year-old was reunited with her mother after being lost 7 days. This is just tragic. And I read the other day that 65%, it used to be mostly males coming into America, but now it's 65% are families coming in trying to or seeking refuge. So they're being released into the interior of the United States, never to be seen again. This is just tragic.
Well, that's exactly what Trump is trying to stop, and that is just to let them. And right now, they do have rulings. I was listening to that, the guy in charge of I don't know if it's Homeland Security or the border, but anyway, he had his fingers in it, and he was saying that, number one, there is no policy anywhere that separates children from the adults. But when they get here, if they're illegal, they come across it, there are some problems there. And many of them have to go to court if they're applying for asylum. And then, of course, they have to, a lot of them if they release them, there's no way to track them, and they just disappear and they never show up again. So they're trying to stop that, and Trump was talking about it, about all of them, because the word that he had gotten is that there's tens of thousands more coming. And, you know, Trump was saying that, yeah, you know, we want people to come if people are going to come, but they got to do it legally. Now, the whole issue here, and has been from the beginning, and that is that no administration, all the way back to Clinton and all the way up, has ever dealt with this border the way it should have been dealt with. The Democrats who are shooting their mouth off have not dealt with it. They had ample chance to do it, but they were using politics and hatred of Trump to stop it. And only when the evidence of how crowded and how messed up was, with all the people coming in, did they decide to try to do anything. But this guy who was the head, he said he was, you know, they were insulted down there because of the picture that some of these House members gave of the way the conditions were out and out lies. And so the bottom line of it is politics and hatred has really distorted this. And the Democrats are not doing anybody any favor by being a pain in the butt over all of this. This nation is so divided, you can see it today. And the fact of it is that, you know, we cannot have millions of people just show up in the inner cities and everywhere else, sleeping in people's yards and on the street, starving to death, not knowing what to do. That is not what we should do. And so something has to be done.
You know, that guy was talking about the reason the children are being separated from their parents. He said it's just like in the United States. When you commit a crime and you have children and you're arrested and social services comes in and takes over, you know, takes the children to protect them. And he said, when you come into the United States, it's illegal, it's against the law. You're arrested. Your children are going to be put in the care of child support authorities. And that's why they're being separated. But there is no law to separate children from their parents. That is just a flat-out law.
And matter of fact, this guy pointed out that Trump is the first president to really have tried to address this. And this guy was an Obama appointee. And supported
He worked in the Obama administration. Now he works with the Trump administration. And he said Trump is the first one that has ever addressed this issue.
So
trying to
something. You know, the problem of it is that your major networks today just openly lie. And, you know, there's been a bunch of them out there. And when I went around today and I saw the news and various news, I saw the Twitters and, I mean, everything that was coming out that was, they were literally taking, you know, clips of the shows and sending them around. And just total fabrication and lies about Trump. Totally. One knucklehead, and he's a bigwig up there, you know, I mean, to some extent, said that because Trump had... put the flag at half mast, that was a sign of Heil Hitler. You know, and these people are, you know, this is coming from someone, you know, that should have some sense about. You know, people are, you know, what we see going on in this country, these people have totally lost their mind. They hate Trump so much that it doesn't matter the truth, and it doesn't matter if they're lying, just as long as they can do what they want to do. And to make a law against white supremacy, well, I got news for you. I've been listening to this putrid, damnable argument for years. There are not that many white supremacists. But the target is not the white supremacists. The target is the everyday white person, Caucasian, and that's who they're targeting. And Biden is dumb as a fence post when he starts supporting stuff like that. Now let's get it straight. These kids that did that, you know, this latest one, you know, one was a total liberal and hated Trump. And so, you know, the thing of it is, you know, this is, it's not Trump's fault. It's, you know, the person is driven. It's his own choice to do these things. If we start blaming others, then when ISIS went through the Middle East to kill Christians, it wasn't ISIS' fault that they murdered. It was the Christians' fault because they were there.
Yeah. That's ridiculous, isn't it?
I'm telling you, people today are stupid, and I'm telling you, you people are stupid. You're wicked. And it's, and you know, you keep this division up and you are going to face one hell of a civil war. And
That's right.
You know, and that is what your enemies are waiting for. You know, I even heard Oprah tweet out something today that I was absolutely amazed. And I don't agree with Oprah on a lot of stuff. But she said, what we're missing is the solid foundation of the Christian church in America in this.
Wow. That's hard to believe
coming
from Oprah. Good for
now,
her.
Now, I'm paraphrasing it a little bit because I can't remember every word, but she was mentioning the Christian church that was missing, you know, to that effect. And I was absolutely amazed. I thought, way to go.
For sure.
I think her daddy was a Baptist, wasn't he?
I don't know. I know for a fact that she was raised in a Baptist family, maybe by her grandmother.
Okay.
But she was raised Baptist, and she got out of that. She got back into it, I hope.
Well, you know, there's one thing that we need to talk about, and that's Syria. And we talked about this 2014 and 2015 when I covered ISIS and the fights between America, the Kurds, and everybody over there in Syria and Iraq. The Kurds over in northern Iraq, they're the ones that Saddam Hussein had actually gassed. He never got along with the Kurds at all. But there was also a lot of oil fields up north that was important. And then over in Syria and Turkey border up there, that's where Rojava, that is where the Kurds wanted to create their own little country. And they were welcoming Christians and everybody into it. It was going to be a fair place to live. And from the outstart, of course, Erdogan has always hated the Kurds, the Kurdish people, because there's a whole bunch of Turkish Kurds that are being oppressed by Erdogan. And he is one that wants to start a caliphate again, like the old Ottoman. And so he wants to invade Syria. And he said he's going to do it. So the biggest thing of it is, the Washington Post came out and reported Sunday that Turkey has amassed tens of thousands of troops on the Syrian border. And he was going to launch a full-scale military operation against the U.S.-backed Kurds. And,
my goodness.
And so he's planning on entering more of those. So I don't know. The thing of it is, the Kurdish militia was the main ally of the U.S. And I remember that. And I liked a number of them, what they said. I read their charter, you know, everything. And so these were people that were a little bit different than ISIS was, absolutely. But, of course, when we're talking of end of days, Erdogan is another one of those that is a major player. He's also threatened Europe. If they didn't straighten up, he was going to release thousands of refugees to go north and flood Europe again. So
That's
these
stupid.
Are all, yeah, And of course, he wants that because he knows it'll weaken their country. Anybody with any sense that like Erdogan knows that if you want to destroy, and they want to, and Iran does too. They want to bring down America. They want to bring down our power. They want to bring down the UN's power. They want to bring down the NATO power. They want to bring down the European Union. They want to infiltrate it. They want to make sure they have a lot of their own people up there to fight in a civil war up there. This is exactly where this is going. And if you don't think the Muslims are serious about worldwide jihad, you're nutty and a fruitcake, and they are using the ability to come in and settle and procreate within a community in order to take it over eventually. That is exactly what it is. This is a jihad in itself. And so, and guess who's right in the way? The Syrian Christians. And the Syrian Christians have had to fight off other ISIS-related groups over there. That woman we reported on not too long ago, she was murdered and raped over there. And, you know, so they're warning, they're pleading for help.
Week.
Yeah, they're absolutely asking for the U.S. to intervene here because they feel that Erdogan will persecute them. And there is a history of him persecuting the churches. He's already has pretty much shut down Christianity in Turkey. That is exactly where Pastor Brunson was in trouble, and he got released. So these are the things that are going on in the world. And with America being as divided as we are and everybody coming in here, if this thing doesn't get under control, you're going to find an America that is not going to have any voice on the world stage. It will be weakened and eventually it will fall. It's as simple as that. When this thing starts going down and you start seeing more killings and murders than you've ever seen, but only this is going to be done, and you're going to see entire towns taken over, you'll see countries, and you may even get to the point where you see borders in states in order to keep people away from them. That could very well happen. You could see them put their own armed citizenry along their borders to keep people out in order to protect themselves. That's how bad it will get if we allow this pure, unadulterated manure pile of division to continue. And Cory Booker, you need to wash your mouth out with soap. You need to stick your head in the toilet and flush it twice. And you need to look yourself in the mirror and say, is this what I really need to be doing? Because you hate President Trump so much, you can't even see the truth. Pelosi and the squad, you people ought to be ashamed of yourself. Schumer, you're the same way. I'm disgusted with every Democrat I've ever seen, except for some of those who have stood up and called for people to stop being so divisive. When did it become illegal to be white? When did it become illegal to be a black man who supported Trump? When has it become illegal just to want to make your country better? It became illegal because you have other plans, because you have infiltrated America with a lot of your socialist dreams that you've been trying to push and shove on everybody. And one of the best ways, the communist charters and ever when we're talking about overthrowing a nation, and that is to destroy the family, that is to destroy the morality, that is to destroy the faith, to destroy the civility within a nation, to overload the system, to flow people into it that of your own choosing. And a lot of people that are coming over here, people from third world countries who are used to dictators, used to socialism, some kind of an ism that'll take care of them. They are not used to the traditional American democracy. And so these Democrats know it. And if they can put a socialist society, these people who come in, these new ones who are coming in, will vote it in. And they know it. So if you know what America is and you've seen what it is, you'd better wake up, because if you continue to sleep, and I'm telling the churches this too, and, the other day, we've had several voices of Christians, including Franklin Graham, talking about this. We need the church to stand up and not be political. We need pastors to stand up. We need you to get your mouth out there. We need to the congregations, and if need be, we need to get to the streets. We need to go out, and we need to tell them to stop it. And if it means if it means facing down those who are willing to harm us and our neighbors, we need to stick up for ourselves. And if these people are not willing to lay down and become one, then we've got one mess.
Amen.
Now, we've got another one. Are you ready for your other one?
Yes. This story is about demons striking terror into souls. This comes to us from ChinaAid.org. It's in the country
Christian
of
aid.
Togo. What did I say?
China Aid.
Oh,
that's
sorry.
What I heard.
Christian Aid. Oh, sorry. Christian Aid. In the thin strip of West Africa, that is the country of Togo, there was a Muslim woman suffering from an illness that neither witch doctors nor medical doctors could cure. She was convinced she was surrounded by snakes. And Rachida's problem was that she was surrounded by snakes to some degree. Several snake varieties would show up in the farmlands bordering their savanna and forest habitat. And it's not unheard of to find a black neck spitting cobra coiled in a corner. Well, that would be pretty mortifying. But the young woman was terrified with fear that snakes were literally encircling her, and whether they were visible or not, she felt they were there. And she is a nominal Muslim. She was raised with voodoo beliefs in a prominent serpent spirit. Among other animalistic beliefs in evil spirits, she was certain the serpent spirit was summoning other snakes, visible ones in hiding and invisible, vipers swarming around her. And more than half the people of Togo hold some animist belief or devotion to ancestors, including many of the Muslims that make up 19% of the country's population. There's an estimated 20% Christian in there. And sad that some of them also adhere to the elements of their animistic upbringing. And this woman's name, her name's been changed, but they call her Rashida. She went to every witch doctor in the area. Each one subjected her to some ritual, something involving the body part of dead snakes or other creatures, an animal sacrifice, and each shaman invoked the powers of amulets and potions. Her conviction that snakes were behind every box, bed, or behind buildings remained. And the relaxants and other prescription drugs from medical doctors were equally ineffective. And one day, she was at the community mill where villagers ground flour for the evening meal. And there she met the wife of a native missionary. And she told the missionary about her fears. And so the woman brought Rashida to her home, and the missionary told her about Jesus Christ, and he was the only one that could help her. The couple began to pray for her. And then that's when she jumped and started crawling on the ground like a reptile. She crawled for a long time. Then after she stopped, she remained as dead. After she got up, she was delivered. Her fear was dissolved. And now Rashida is secretly learning about Christ, even as a real danger. Opposition to Christianity from her Muslim family members grows with each passing day. So we need to remember to pray for her and others like her to be delivered out of that lifestyle, and pray for Toga.
That's amazing.
It is. Thank God she was delivered.
Yeah.
Boy, that power of fear is horrible, I know.
Well, you know, this is what Christ sent us to do. The problem of it is many Christians don't even have a chance to even do that because they're killed before they have a chance. You know, and so,
yeah.
You know, Wang Yi warned the Chinese government, saying that when they begin destroying the Christian church and taking it on, that there would be a judgment on China. And there will. The communist government will meet their end eventually. It will come to
an
end. Absolutely. Now, one thing that we came across, Jerry Golden of the Golden Report, he continues to write about America. I find this interesting because he lives in Israel. He is from the States, but he's been over in Israel now for, I think, 28 years, a long time. He's raised a family there. All of his kids, I think, have been in IDF. But he asks a question about the Muslims, and because he notices that there's a lot of Muslims in Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Ohio, Illinois, Indiana, New York, and Pennsylvania, in the northern states, cold-weather states.
And in the Mideast as well. I mean, you know, the Midwest, or don't they call some of those the Midwest?
Well, yeah, but he talks about them being in the cold-weather northern states, and the reason he does is because they all surround pretty closely big river systems that connect with the ocean. And if there was ever a civil war, they could control the river systems and the Great Lakes and stuff. That's what he's getting at. And, you know, the bottom line of it is that while not all Muslims, you know, are terrorists, and Jerry points this out, I've said it many times, but at the same time, I told you that almost all the terrorists are Muslims. And they're the ones that the two main strains of it. Erdogan represents one of them, and Iran the other. Both of them want worldwide domination. So none of it bodes well for freedom of speech and even worship, because you know, you're not going to be able to do it. So this is a big thing, but you know, he says that. There's no doubt that the U.S. government could have done something to stop this takeover by Muslims in these states. But see, nobody did anything. Matter of fact, Obama actually helped them during his time. And of course, the liberals in Congress, we're talking of Democrats, they have made it so easy for these to come over here that it really could put U.S. in a very big problem. So now today, with us being divided, you know, the big question is it going to be trouble to have Muslims like this in the United States? Well, unequivocally, yes, it is going to be dangerous, because there are groups today, and Ryan Morrow, among others, have followed the track of Islamic training camps in America right now, and they have discovered a lot of them. It's no big deal, I guess you could say. I found out about them long, long time ago from a group in New York and on the East Coast where they were from. Another one was from. And I even found their website, found photos that had been put online of what they were doing there. It was a regular military type organization. They wouldn't let anybody in to see what they were doing. Texas has a big amount of radical Muslims over there as well. So, yes, with America being totally divided the way it is, and we're busy trying to solve our petty differences, if this Civil War or something does break out, you're going to have Muslims, and then you're also going to have the terrorists who came in from Iran and other places. You also have certain spies. We, in the old Cold War, we knew of them. These were sleeper cells, and you will have those from Russia and China both here. We know that they're over here. They've always been over here, and many of them will come and marry and even have kids and live down, but they're sleepers. Whenever the time comes, they will do what they have to do. So, you know, while all the Christians around the world have been slaughtered, and we can tell you that in almost, well, I would say in every Christian, in every Muslim country that is operated by Sharia law, Christians are persecuted, hounded, thrown in jail, beaten, and killed and murdered. And almost no way of respite or safety for them. In Nigeria, Buhari, who belongs to the Fulani tribe and is president, doesn't do anything about the Fulani tribesmen who have been slaughtering hundreds and hundreds of Christian farming families to get their land. He doesn't do anything about Boko Haram there. And so we see this time and time again. So this is the problem in the end days. We know certain things are going to happen. And we go through this because we let you know that times, if you can't see it, are tough. And it is, now is the time. If you, because if America falls, there's nowhere to go. Where are you going to go? Everybody around the world is coming to America because we haven't fallen. If we fall, if we get in a civil war, if this thing goes down, there is no place for nobody to go. And the result will be the people that are coming here, along with the people that live here, you're going to die by the millions.
Yeah.
Now, that's the frank assessment. Now, you can take that and burn it. You can take that and remember it. You can have ears to hear. But whatever you do, you need to repent first and make sure you're right where you need to be, then seek the Lord. But something must be done. But in the midst of this, you know, Paul even warned the church. He said, beware that when you're biting and devouring, be careful that you're not consumed. You know, Paul would warn about this, and this is in the confines of a church, and everybody biting, devouring, and talking with one another, you know, fighting with one another. Yeah, if you get in that kind of a cat scrape, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get eaten. You're going to get tread upon. We don't want to get involved in the fight. We want to stay aloof from it, and we want to find a way to solve this. But the voices today are so stubborn, they don't even listen to one another. They spend time shouting at one another. Nobody wants to heal anything. They want to send the other one to hell. Nobody can come together on any kind of a ground. Not even to the point where we let us disagree agreeably and let us move on.
How tragic.
There's no shaking of hands. There's no mercy. There's no love. There's nothing. And that is the way we see the news medias, CNN, NBC, ABC, and the others going. We have Twitter admitting that they are left-leaning. We have Google saying that they are going to work it to try to stop Trump by using their system. This is a monopoly Google practically has online, and they say they're going to use that to destroy Trump so he doesn't get elected. Now, see, this is what we can't have. In the old days, they would break up the phone companies when they got so big. But today, nobody breaks up these techies. They let these morons go until they're so much of a billionaire, have so much power and influence, nobody does anything. And I'm telling you today that your internet, your social feed, Twitter, and I can tell you Facebook, and I can tell you Instagram, and I can tell you these other ones, they are no good. They are nothing but trouble. Now, while there are good points to the internet, I've been on the internet since it was started practically, when it was available, 1,200 kilobytes. I was online when there was just a little bitty thing here in where we're at. One of the first. I got involved in this. I know what I'm talking about, and I'm telling you, parents, watch your children. This internet and the social feed is devilish. It is amoral. And it will suck your soul dry.
Yes, it will. Amen.
So we are threatened by Islamists and others, plus our own foolishness. Islamists are not going to overthrow America. We're going to be destroyed because we destroyed it ourselves. And I can tell you the biggest culprits will be when this falls, if it falls, will be our political leadership. And I've talked about that plenty in teaching on our radio shows. There's a biblical base for that, and that is the leaders are the ones that send their countries to hell every time. Now, Tower, one of the ones that we've talked about, you remember when we talked about Mexico and how they treated the Protestants?
Yes.
It was years ago, and remember that because the Protestants wouldn't become Catholic, the Catholics of the community persecuted them.
Yes, I remember that.
So in a particular village in the state of Hidalgo, and that name comes up a lot, they were displaced. They didn't sign an agreement that bans Protestants from entering the village. So these Catholics don't want any Protestants in their village. And because of a press conference held by their lawyer last week in which he accused the government of failing to act despite clear violations of freedom of religion or belief, they attacked the homes of these people. Their belongings were removed. The houses were broken to make, and the windows were broken, and the doors in order to make them in an uninhabitable.
That's horrible.
Yeah. There's a Baptist missionary denomination that is involved here that has people there. And so
The government took no action to resolve it.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, the Protestants resisted being forced to participate in and contribute financially to Roman Catholic activities. Yeah, I ain't given to the Roman Catholic Church.
Me either.
But this is typical. Remember, one of the largest inquisitions against Christians was carried on by the Roman Catholic Church on its own people. So make no mistake. The Roman Catholic Church has a lot of problems today. And they are not above persecuting Protestants. Because we've covered this before, and we've covered it out of Mexico. And if you remember when the busload of students disappeared?
Yeah.
But there's one thing good. That guy we talked about that was talking about all this with the border and everything, he also said Mexico for the first time has stepped up to help, control this influx and everything. So that was good. And he says it's a direct result of Trump intervening that occurred. And
That's
so
right.
While people are quick to demean President Trump, now I may not agree with everything he does, but I can tell you he's done one number A1 job above many, including Obama. He's gotten things done. He's dealt with issues. You know, he called upon the Democrats and others time and time again. He had Border Patrol, he had police, he had everybody he could think of come up and testify at the White House and other places, and the media, and most of the media just downplayed it.
He's the first political person that I know, or I mean, person running for office that said, that promised everybody all these things, but he fulfilled them. He came through on his promises. He's the only one that I know has ever done that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Well, at any rate, folks, we covered a lot of stuff. We talked about America today, but these are things, issues, these are hot button right now. Don't get caught up in the rhetoric. You know, we need healing, not hell. When the fire is burning the house, you don't throw gasoline on it. Okay? But some of these people will not listen. And because of the way the division is in this country, and I knew about this a long time ago, it's a prophecy that I've given. The Lord had told me about it. I got news for you. You know, if you're a Christian, you need to look to the Lord, because there are major problems and we are in the end of days. And as for me, I'm just going to keep looking to the Lord and we'll see what happens. Because whatever happens, I'm looking to the Lord. America didn't save me. This world didn't save me. The Lord God did by sending his son. My hope is in Jesus Christ. And if a nation doesn't want me to speak Jesus Christ, then that nation is no friend of mine. It's an enemy. And that's the way it is.
Right.
You don't want me to be a Christian? I don't care. You don't want me to speak out? I don't care. But that's the way it is. And you need
that's
to find
right,
a
amen.
Place to stand in Christ, and you need to stand. We got to get out of here, Tower.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. May God bless you richly as you work for him. Good night, everybody.
Well, folks, stop off our websites at warren-usa.com, danaglensmith.com. Read the articles. Follow us on all of our social feeds. Send the articles around and stop by the website, really, and tell your friends about it. We need help. We need people to come by, because I can tell you that a lot of the way things are going on the internet, they're making it even tougher for all conservatives to even get the word out there. So, shalom. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of
The Warren Radio.